opportunity to be here. Thank you again, Pastor Soboski, for a great, great privilege of being here today. Let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 2, 1 through 4. And you are privileged to have such a pastor who's highly respected among our fellowship. Amen. Amen. You know, it is the really, I guess it's the first Sunday, really, of the new year that you're in church. We all got snowed in last week, and I was going, in fact, I had scheduled home last Sunday, and I was only at the sanctuary that we attend in Hazelwood there. I was only there two Sundays last year, and, you know, I'm real faithful. And Brother Graham used to tell me, with saints like you, I would never have to preach a message or go to church. I could just, you know, make sure the tithe check keeps coming in, and I always make sure that happens, but he said, man. And, you know, but I'm usually there Easter and Mother's Day. And so, you know, I'm real faithful. And, but I hope, you know, hope you're not one of those saints. But I am in church every single week, multiple times a week. And, but I was going to be there last week and we all got snowed in. And, you know, so I guess this is the first Sunday, isn't it? That we're all here together in the house of the Lord. And so I think it's fitting that we go to the book of Acts, because the book of Acts is a new beginning. And it is a new opportunity for transformation and change in people's lives. And we are in January, and it is a new opportunity today. And so, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, Acts 2, 1, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were all filled. Everybody say filled. Filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Oh, what a great, great transformation that is. Amen. And so for the next few moments, I want to speak to you on a simple topic, the 5 W's and 1 H of Pentecost. The 5 W's and 1 H of Pentecost. Now turn to the neighbor next to you and say, I have no idea what he's talking about. Amen. Would you may be seated here today. Well, those of you who maybe have some kind of research in journalism or you know, police investigations and things of that nature, they call it the 5 W's and 1 H. And really, that's what it's called. It's often used by journalists and researchers and investigators. And it's really a formula they use to get the complete story of the subject. If you really want to know what is the essence of it all, and really the 5 W's and 1 H are simply this: the who, the what, the when, the where, and the why, and then the how of the subject. And trying to in somehow figure out in the order of studying and completing the accurate picture of it all. And I simply today want to give you the who, what, when, where, and how, and the what and the who of Pentecost today. Because I believe we need to know the full picture of it all. I believe we need to know who this thing is for. Who is Pentecost for? Well, in Acts 2:39, Peter clearly said, this promise is unto you and to your children and to all them that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. He said it clearly in John, said it in the book of Revelations when he said, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him drink and take the water of life freely. I'm here today to tell you the who of Pentecost is you. The who of Pentecost is whosoever will, let him come and drink of the waters of life freely. The who of Pentecost is anybody, anywhere, anytime that is willing to simply say, I need a Savior. I need a Deliverer. I need a Redeemer. I need a Transformer. That's the who of Pentecost today. The who of Pentecost is the brokenhearted. It's the hurting. It's the empty. It's the helpless. It's the fearful. It's even the backslider that once had it. But don't you think for one minute that the church is all and everybody in this building has always been what they are. But I'm here today to tell you there are former adulterers. There's former idolaters. There's former people who have had their lives bound by sin. They were addicted to drugs. They were liars. They were cheaters. Oh, they were alcoholics, but one day God came in the midst of their lives and brought a transformation, brought a hope, brought a joy, brought a peace. Oh, you may see the finished product now, but I got the message for somebody. You too can experience the who of Pentecost. It's not and never has been. You get good and come to God. No, no. God says you want to come to me and I'll make you good. I'll transform you. I'll change you. I'll redeem you. Oh, to the Ephesians, Paul said it really right. He said in Ephesians 1, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespass and sins, where in times past you walked, according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Among also, we all had our conversation in the past with the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of mind, and we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But then he goes on to say, But God. Oh, I was there, but God showed up. I was that, but God showed up. I was there, and God showed up. Who is rich in mercy. For his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together. And he said, by grace you're saved. That's the who of Pentecost. It's for anyone who is willing to say, I want it. And just simply obey what God says do. You see, when can Pentecost come? Well, let's explore that a minute. Let's see, Pentecost. It can only come when the snow isn't flying, the ice is melted, and I finally made it to church, and it's only between... Well, it's only between 12, if the preacher doesn't preach real long, 12:30 and 12:45 on a Sunday. Only on a Wednesday night if we really get ready because the preacher gets excited. No. Pentecost is not relegated to one moment or time. I remember one individual that I'd been praying for, and his daughter came. She got the Holy Ghost. I think it was the second or third service. Well, he took a little longer than that. He's working through some things. And I remember late night calls, him saying, Pastor, I don't know if I'm going to get it. I mean, he called me one night absolutely almost to the point of suicide, said, I guess I don't get it. I guess God, and I said, absolutely not. God's going to fill you. You just keep doing what you're doing. And you know what? Sure enough, He wasn't an old guy. He was in his 40s and 50s, you know. He wasn't old at all. But to the teenagers, he was old. Nah, 50's the new 20. I'm just smart enough not to ride the roller coaster. I'm smart enough to let you tell me about the roller coaster. Because I don't want to feel fuzzy all day. I'm tired of having to smile and act like I'm all right. But he went to a youth convention. It wasn't even for him. But all of a sudden, the power of God began to move. And I can never forget, I wasn't able to be there that night. But old Craig called me and he said, you'll never guess what God did for me tonight. I said, at a youth service? You're not young enough to do that. He said, God transformed me. I've got what I never dreamed I could have. God did something for me. Oh, I'm here today to tell you the what of Pentecost is a clear configuration of what God can do. But oh, the who of Pentecost is whosoever will. Let him come and drink of the waters of life freely. But the when of Pentecost and the what of Pentecost is absolutely what God wants to do and transform our lives. It's a fulfillment of that Old Testament prophet in Joel. The Bible says, Joel said this, in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. This was not an afterthought. From the foundation of the world, God knew mankind was going to have a problem. God saw in the future, but he said, I'm going to give you a redemption. I'm going to give you a way out. I'm not only going to talk about it. I'm not even going to let you build a building where I can dwell, but I'm going to let you have me inside of you. You see, what is Pentecost? Well, it's Christ in us. The Word of God says, the hope of glory. God no longer wants to dwell just in temples made of man's hands, but he wants to be inside you. It's power to overcome. Not only is it that, but it is peace that passeth all understanding. Walk into situations where everything should be chaotic and everything just going south. But all of a sudden you recognize there is a peace that you don't even understand. You're not even sure. Everybody's looking around you. Why are you so calm? Well, I really don't know. But all I know is there is an absolute peace that came over me. And God brought to me something that it's not something I worked up. It's not something I got through Norman Vincent Peale or any of those guys trying. They may do good work, but that's not something I can do on my own mind or my understanding. It's something that the power of God in his transforming power moved on me. I'm telling somebody, you want to know what this thing is? It is peace that passeth understanding. He said, I'm going to give you power to overcome the world. Oh, but when can it come? Well, Craig, a guy that I was telling you about, got it at a youth convention. Old man prays through at youth convention. Wow. When can Pentecost come? Well, I got news for you. It's not relegated to church. Now, I'm thankful we come together. The Word of God says don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together because we need to be together. And when we get together, there is something about corporate worship. He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. You just get together. But I'm telling you, the truth of the matter is this, that any time, when can Pentecost come? It can come late at night when you're all alone in your bed and you just simply said, God, I need a redeemer. I need a savior. I need someone to transform me and change me. I need your spirit in my life. You can be driving home. I heard about one person. They hadn't got the Holy Ghost. They'd been on a several day fast asking for God, and all of a sudden in their car, the Holy Ghost, they just were singing and they got to responding and rejoicing and worshiping the Lord, and all of a sudden in their car driving down the interstate, they said, I felt something I've never felt before in my life. I just had to respond. They ended up pulling over and they got outside of their car and hands raised, tears streaming down their face right on the side of the interstate. God filled them with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm here today to tell somebody, Pentecost can come anywhere. It can come anytime. You know, when can Pentecost come? And I don't know. I may have told this story before. Bears repeating. I don't know. I was thinking this morning. I'm not sure if I've ever told this before, but here. But you know, back in high school, we had 5 a.m. prayer, and we'd go to Calvary Tabernacle. We'd have prayer early in the morning, every morning. And I was a freshman. I went to a private school my entire career until high school, then I had a mom that just, you know, I don't know. She lost her mind, I guess. Yeah, maybe, you know. Mom all of a sudden walked in, rocked my world. She said, it's time to get you into the real world. And so she shoved me into a public high school. First time I'd ever been in public school. I've heard stories. I'm a nervous wreck. I'm scared. I'm looking at everything. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm scared. I'm just a frog, a freshman. I'm just a nobody, you know? And I'm a little intimidated by, not only am I that, but I'm also an apostolic, which even kind of adds to the equation a little bit. But I will never forget as early morning prayer. There was a couple of us in the school that had early morning prayer. We'd go to the church, pray, and then we'd go to school. And I've always been somewhat of a morning person too. I mean, they hated me at IBC. Whenever at 7 o'clock I'd start whistling down the hall, and you'd hear, "Shut up, Bill." And somebody'd say, "Is Bible college students okay to say shut up? I don't know." Well, just be quiet, Bill. And maybe some of that was morning person, but you know, man, at 7 a.m., I'd walk into high school, kind of, you know, bebopping a little bit, and you know, just, man, this is good stuff. You know? Hallelujah, smile on my face. Everybody else says, "Don't talk to me," you know. And I'll never forget being in a class, and it was a study hall. It was first period. Why they had study hall first period, I absolutely have no idea. It's a good time to sleep for most people. But the problem was, I'm a morning person, I can't sleep. Then, I sleep in the afternoon. Now, give me afternoon sleep, I'm good. I mean, there's an internal clock in me. 3 p.m., I don't care where I'm at in the world, 3 p.m., I'm like, you know. But 7 a.m., I'm ready to go. Some of you just now waking up. I'm seeing it, all right? We're about to converge our worlds, you know? Welcome. Good morning. But I'll never forget, early one morning in study hall, one of the girls, she was a cheerleader, varsity cheerleader, and we got set next to one another. Kathy, all of a sudden, Kathy started saying, "Hey, Bill, why are you so happy?" I said, "Well, you know, I'm a morning person, you know." She goes, "No, that's not it. Why are you so happy every morning?" I said, "Well, Kathy, I tell you why." I said, I've been up since 4:30. She said, "What?" She said, "You know, I get up early too because of cheer practice and all that. I get it, you know." And she was awake too because she'd been awake from early in the morning too because of cheer practice, you know. But Kathy said, "What? What are you doing that early?" And she said, "Well, I'm going to church." "What?" I said, "Yeah, Kathy, I'm going to church." Well, this happened 2 or 3 weeks. She's kind of slow and into the conversation, you know, and I'm not really open. I'm not going to tell everybody I'm going to pray. You know, I mean, I was just kind of, a little intimidated. She was a cheerleader and a varsity cheerleader, and you know, I wasn't sure. I mean, I wasn't in the in crowd, you know, and so, I mean, these things have ramifications, you know. And I remember one morning, finally, she got it out of me. She said, "Seriously, what are you doing going to church early in the morning?" I said, "Well, we're going to pray." She goes, "Really?" And I said, "Yeah." Well, then all of a sudden, then the questions really started. And finally, she's like, "Well, how many of you are there?" I said, "Well, sometimes there's 20 of us that show up and pray." She said, "Oh, my, really? There's 20 people like you?" I said, "Kathy, I tell you, you don't understand. It's not just any normal prayer meeting. It's red hot. The presence of God is there. People's lives are being changed." And as I began to share it, her eyes just, I mean, it was like she was locked in, ready to go. And all of a sudden, I mean, it was the height of my great evangelism ploy and techniques. It was unbelievable. It was the revelation that I knew what I was doing when Kathy reached beyond my inability and invited herself. It was, "Well, can anybody come?" "Yeah, I guess so." And then she reached a little further beyond my inability. And she said, well, can I come? And I mean, it almost just came out. You want to come to prayer? But fortunately, I didn't say that. I said, yeah, yeah. How about tomorrow? Okay. Yeah, 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 that's a good idea. And I'll never forget as Kathy walked in that prayer meeting. She had never been in apostolic service or even church in her life, barely even going to church. But Kathy, that young varsity cheerleader that everybody else would think, oh, is so popular and would never want this. All of a sudden, I look down as the presence of God is moving on Kathy and tears are streaming down her face. And I told a couple of girls, go pray with her. And they began to pray with her. And in just a few moments, God began to do something that I never dreamed he could do. It wasn't on a Sunday night red hot apostolic meeting. It wasn't on a Wednesday night. It wasn't on a Sunday morning. But it was in the middle of a morning prayer meeting. And that God began to move on her. And I watched as God filled Kathy with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm here today to tell you it can happen anytime. It can happen right now while I'm preaching. The Holy Ghost can come in and bring transformation and power in your life. I got a feeling like it's already been mentioned multiple times in this service. Now is your time. Today is your day. Anytime. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. It can happen anywhere. Bible's named him Saul to begin with. Saul. And he was really good. He perfected the art of killing Christians, putting him into jail. In fact, the Bible said he was causing havoc on the church. But Saul, one day you started on a road to Damascus. And everybody said, there's no way Pentecost is going to show up on a road. And they said, there's no way Pentecost is going to show up at that spot. Well, my word, it's a group full of people who are going to arrest Christians. But oh, God had something different in store. And oh, God, if you're going to show up anywhere, show up when a group of people are on their way to my house to arrest me for what I believe. And God said, all right, I'm going to let a light shine from heaven. I'm going to speak directly, and I'm going to send him, and I'm going to transform him, and I'm going to change him. Where can Pentecost come? It can come anywhere. He chose an old upper room to say, I'm going to baptize them with something that they have never had. I am going to fill them. But here's the problem. It can't stay in the room, because when it happens, it begins to burst out into the streets. And the Bible said it went outside and thousands received the Holy Ghost that day, because it was an outpouring of God's Spirit, and it can happen anywhere. I'll never forget years ago, I've tried to remember which missionary this was, but years ago, one of the missionaries that we had overseas told me the story. He said it was a really powerful thing that happened with his kid. His kid was going to a school there overseas, and he was walking through a passing class period, going to another class, and his kid was stopped by somebody, and they began to ask him questions about what he experienced and what God had done in his life. And this kid was asking him, and he goes, you know, he started asking the questions. He said, I got the Holy Ghost. And the guy goes, well, can anybody get the Holy Ghost? He said, yeah, anybody can. And kid said, okay, well, I want it. Well, mind you, there's like 3 minutes left of the passing class period. And the kid goes, in fact, yeah, I want it now. missionary kid. You know, he's about to do what all you would do. I'll pray with you later. We'll meet. You know, why don't you come to church with me? This kid wasn't about waiting for coming to church. He wanted it now.
All right.
He said, now? Now? He goes, I want it now. Thank God that kid just had enough gumption to go. He said, well, we got 2 minutes. There's no time to even step out of the middle of the hall. All you got to do is just put your books down. He said, and then I want you to lift up your hands and I want you to begin to ask God to forgive you of your sins and ask God to fill you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because the word says if you will ask, if you'll repent of your sins, if you will be baptized in Jesus' name, God will fill you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He said it's a promise and it's been a long time coming. It's from your children and their children too, and it's for all as many as the Lord our God shall call. Well, that young missionary kid said, and I'm going to lay my hands on your head and God's going to fill you with the Holy Ghost. And in just a few moments, that young man was speaking with other tongues in the middle. He wasn't even in a prayer meeting. He was in the middle of a passing class. I'm here today to tell somebody, Pentecost can come anytime and anywhere. But why? Why does Pentecost come? Well, God from the very beginning has always wanted a relationship with you and I. He wants a relationship with mankind. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, it brought a separation between them and Him. And God said, I want to redeem them. I want to transform them. I want to give them a hope. I want to give them a chance and a way of escape. I'm here today to tell you, why does Pentecost come? It comes to redeem. It comes to transform. It comes to change. It comes to redeem you and your relationship with Him. But how? How does it happen? Well, Acts 2:38 says this, then Peter said to them, repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the... Something you bought. No. The gift. I got news for you. I don't care who you are. You are not worth it. But yet you are. Because the enemy says you're not worth it. Your own world, and you say, I'm not worth it. But God said, but what you don't understand is, I said you're worth it. And I said that it's not about your past. It's about what He sees in your future. It's not about what you did. It's about one who came and said, I'm going to pay the price, regardless of what they have the ability to do. I'm going to quickly tell this story, and just time-wise, I'm careful, but I really feel like I need to tell this story to kind of relate and give you an understanding about this. Many years ago, I read a story about a young man, and this was back, early in our country and nation's history, and there was slavery was rampant, and they were having all these kinds of sales of people, and it was just a horrible time. And there was a young miner who had been out west, and this young man had actually struck it rich. And he had money in his, he had gold nuggets in his pockets. Nobody knew. He'd sewed it into his clothes. And he made his way to the streets of New Orleans. And there in the streets of New Orleans, he kind of was just walking around. And here a young man is. He's wealthy, but nobody knows what he has. And he's kind of just watching everything. And he stumbles upon a slave auction. And he watches as they bring a beautiful young girl up. Ben began to jeer, things said that was awful, and he just turned his stomach. He watched it take place, and he just could not handle it. They were bidding, and they were laughing and taunting. And this young man looked at it all, and he just couldn't. He just stomach was turned, and he just couldn't handle it anymore. And he started bidding for this young girl. And all of a sudden, the bidding began to rise to the point where it was just unbelievable. And they began to laugh and taunt and say things horribly, and even about this young man and his intentions. And that he didn't look like he could afford anything. But all of a sudden, somebody else went a little higher. And finally, it looked like it just nobody else was going to bid. And finally, he was so frustrated, so angry about what was happening. He raised his voice loudly and he said, "I will give twice the highest bid thus spoken." Instantly, the crowd silenced. No one had ever seen a cost so great paid for such a young girl. And then they began to laugh as the auctioneer said, "Sold." And he walked over to her, and all the crowd patting him on the back and saying horrible things. And that young man walked over and he started to take the young girl by the hand, and she spit at him. She screamed, "I hate you!" Fearful of what would happen next. Her life looked so bleak and impossible. And he didn't say a word. He didn't respond. He didn't even acknowledge what she had done. But he took her by the hand, and she didn't know, fear all over her as he began to almost drag her around the streets. He didn't understand. She didn't want to go, but he kept saying, "You've got to go with me. You've got to go with me." And they made their way, and he was asking this and that. She didn't really understand what was happening. He walked into a room, and he told her, he said, "You stay right there." And he walked into the back of a room, and he spoke. And there were loud discussions. And every once in a while, she would hear a yell and a holler. And he would say, "It has to. There must be a way." She was frightened as she heard the man behind the counter say, "All right," as this man takes from him a bag of gold and throws it across the table and said, "There is a way, you will do it." This man, looking at the gold pieces in front of him, said, "Okay, I will." And then he writes a piece of paper out, and they walk out, and this young man reaches over and again takes the hand of the girl, and she looks at him screaming again, "I hate you," and spits in his face again. But he doesn't retaliate. A tear begins to come down his cheek. He walks out. And then something happens no one, even the young girl, could ever expect. This young man, he said, "Listen," he said, "what I've been doing is I've been getting these papers drawn up. Here they are, and in fact, I want you to have these papers, and here's a little bit to go with it, a little money that will help you." He said, "This is where we part." And she, not understanding what was happening, again, she said, "I hate you. Don't make fun of me." It was almost as if he was giving her a glimmer of hope, of freedom. And she could never imagine that. But it was just a moment later when the young man looked at her and he said, "Young lady, what you don't understand is this. I just purchased your freedom." And she said, "No, don't taunt me like that." He said, "Here's the paperwork to prove that you are free." Instantly, she said, "No, it can't be." She said, "I hate you because you're making fun of me." The tears streaming down his face, he said these words. He said, "Young lady, what you don't understand is I bought you today to set you free." And the moment that happened, it was said that she wrapped her arm around his legs and she said, I just want to help you. You gave me something I could never have had." There was a desire to serve, and he said, "No, I bought you to set you free."
I'm here today to tell you that what Jesus Christ did at Calvary, it was a very evident, clear, absolute. He said, I know who you are, and I know the history and all the accusations against you. I know how the enemy wants to box you in and do and treat you wrong. But he said, you know what? What you don't understand is this. I robed myself in flesh. I came to live among mankind. I give you something you could never get on your own. I bought you. I transformed everything to set you free. And that right there, why does Pentecost come? Because he wants to set us free. But how? How does this happen? The Bible says, Acts 2:38, and he said, repent. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins. Now that word repent is a turning away. It's not merely saying I'm sorry. It's saying I don't want to do it anymore. And then he said, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It didn't just happen in Acts 2. Oh, with Peter in the upper room and the 3,000. No, in Acts chapter 8, it shows up again to Samaritans and Peter and John laying his hand on them, and they receive the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 10, he shows up to a good man who's done a lot of good things in his life, and everybody else would have thought he didn't need it, but he knew there was something more, and he wanted it, and God filled Cornelius with the Holy Ghost. And it even happened in Acts chapter 19, where we find a group that said, we didn't know that there was such a thing. But if there is, we want it, and we want it now. And we want the glory to fall in our lives. In 1789, as I quickly hasten to a close, the famous Parisian explorer and scientist Baron von Humboldt discovered something amazing. It was something called Creare. And I probably am massacring the name itself. We don't use that term anymore, but It was this incredible discovery that he had as he was in South America. He found something called Creare. And what he found out was this, that the natives had used this toxic thing. And they would put it, in fact, he had watched them as they hunted, and he would watch as they took their bows and arrows, and they would dip it in this small concoction of stuff, and they would shoot these animals. And almost instantly, these large animals would drop dead. He found out that it was Creare that they were using. They were dipping it into this poison that, when mixed with the bloodstream, brought almost instant paralyzation and death. Well, he didn't want anything to do with that stuff. Rightfully so. But one day, the Baron got sick. One day, it became evident that likely he could even be on his deathbed. And one of the Indian doctors walked in, and they said to him, as he lay there, really would have been his deathbed, they said, here, drink this. Well, he did what all of us do when we don't know what somebody is giving us. We say, what is it? I mean, it always drives me crazy when people, you get something you don't like, don't say, oh, this is horrible, try it. Take your word for it. I got it. It's good. Glad you tried it first. But he said, what is this? And the doctor said, well, I don't really want to tell you. He said, well, I want to know before I drink it. Finally, he kind of got it out of him that is that same stuff. That same stuff that he had watched them dip arrows in and kill animals. He said, well, I know you didn't like me. He said, no, I'm trying to save you. He said, I don't know about this. He said, well, you know, finally, the old doctor, Indian doctor, he said, I know I don't look the part. I know you don't think I know what I'm doing. But I do. And if you don't drink this, you will die. He said, well, finally he felt so bad, he thought death might be a relief. So much to his resistance, he took it and he drank it. And within a few hours, miraculously, he started getting better and strength began to return. What he found out was Creer has two very distinct properties. One, when shot into the bloodstream, has the ability to kill instantly. But when diluted with water and drank orally, it has the ability to heal. I got to thinking about that. Pretty incredible discovery, Doc and Baron. But you know what? I know something that does the same thing. For you see, whenever that powerful blood of Jesus Christ gets mixed with that old unredeemed blood, all of a sudden it has the ability to destroy the bondages of sin and death and hell and all those things that I was supposed to be and all the ways I was supposed to live and all the things the enemy said I could never be. But oh, can I tell you, it was that blood that we sang about, because it also has another distinct property. Because whenever you allow it to come and mix inside of you. Oh, can I tell you, as the blood of Jesus Christ is applied to you in baptism, as the blood is applied in repentance, all of a sudden begins to happen. It begins to redeem you. As you stand with me today, I'm telling somebody, it's the who, it's for whosoever will, it's the what, it's joy unspeakable and full of glory, the how, the who, and the when, it's any time, the where, it's anywhere, the how, it's repentance, and it's asking him, it's saying, God, I can't do it on my own, I can't do it. The Bible says, when his spirit comes inside of you, it's like a well that springs up into life everlasting. I've seen so many people get so close to getting the Holy Ghost, and it's like they stop it. Because instantly it's like, well, that's just me. Well, it is you, but it's the Holy Ghost going about to flow through you. And if you just let the Holy Ghost flow through you, all of a sudden that well will spring up. Well, that just sounds like words I don't understand. Well, you know, the presence of God is on you. And whenever you begin to speak, all of a sudden the presence of God gives you the utterance of a language you don't know. And the transformation, and there, you know what's happening? I'm happening. Oh, I'll tell you what's happening. The blood of Jesus Christ is taking that old man and pushing it aside. But oh, at the same time is bringing life and life everlasting. I'm telling you, you are a part of the who of Pentecost. So the who, what, when, where, what, and how. How is here today. It's here. I'm opening these altars up for people that like to come and say, God, maybe it's just I need a renewing. Maybe I just need another dip of the powerful move of God. I want to take another drink of what God has given to my life. I want to express and I want to feel his spirit in me one more time. Oh, in this new year, maybe it's just a renewal of saying, God, I want to walk this year in your spirit. I want to walk this year with newness of life. I want to walk as a redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I want to walk with boldness and confidence. Where I go at school, in my workplace, I'm just believing, God, you can feel somebody this year, anywhere, anytime. I want to see the miraculous. I don't know about you. You need the Holy Ghost. You need to come. You want the Holy Ghost to demonstrate in your life this year. You need to come. We ought to come and gather in this altar today. Everybody, whosoever will, let him come and drink of the waters of life freely. It's yours. You can have it.